from the prophet Joel, he says, "Then you shall know that I, the Lord, am your God, dwelling on Zion, my holy mountain. I will avenge their blood, not leave it unpunished. The Lord dwells in Zion." There are times when the Lord speaks to us tenderly, calls us, woos us to Him. And there are other times in the Scripture where the Lord speaks with a kind of fierceness, calling to judgment. And the tenderness and the fierceness are not in opposition to each other. It's the tender fierceness, if you will, of a father who loves. And the fierceness of the Lord's intention to live with His people is a measure of the love He has for them. So we'll want to pay attention to both aspects of this as the Lord speaks. But I want to draw attention to one current in this reading from the prophet, which the Lord comes back and back to when He is speaking to His people. He's speaking here about a judgment that's coming, about He is coming to rule the earth, to deal with the wicked, to save His people. But then what He keeps insisting on is, He says, "I dwell in Zion." This is, it's me. I dwell in Zion. "And you shall know that I am the Lord, and I live here." He loves that word, dwell. And it's worth our considering that when the Lord came to save us, He didn't just simply determine to get us out of trouble. He didn't just say, "I need to free you, so I'll provide you to me." He didn't send us things from afar. He didn't just give us care packages every once in a while, or send an army to take care of things. He came to dwell with us. Came to live among us. And the image He uses is an image of marriage. When somebody asks someone to marry you, they're doing a lot more than just saying, "I hope the best for you. I want you to do well. I'd like to help you." All those things are good, but when you marry somebody, what you're saying is, "I want to live with you, and I want our lives to be so intertwined that we become one. I want us to belong to each other." And this is the way the Lord has dealt with a people who had run from Him, a race that had turned their back on Him. It wasn't enough for Him to save us. It wasn't enough for Him to help us. He wanted to dwell with us. He wanted to live with us. Now, this morning we'll be looking at one of the ways that the Lord dwells with us. This is part of the point of liturgy. It's one of the ways He comes to us and lives with us. But in the light of this morning's gospel, we'll want to see another way that the Lord dwells. One of the conditions for His dwelling with us. And we see this in the gospel. Jesus teaching, setting people's hearts free. And someone spontaneously, one of the women spontaneously, experiencing the grace of God coming from Jesus. "Blessed is your mother. Blessed is the mother of such a son." And then Jesus says, "Well, rather, blessed is the one who hears the word of God and does it." He's not saying, "No, actually, my mother is not blessed. I'm talking about someone else." He's saying, "No, rather, why is my mother blessed? She's blessed because she desired obedience. And in fact, had she not first been obedient, she would not be my mother. Had she not said, 'Be it done to me according to your will,' no Theotokos." So what comes prior is this heart of obedience. And when God said, "I want to dwell with you," He tabernacled among us. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And He came to dwell in the very body of a woman. What He needed first was that dwelling place had an obedient heart to him, had opened in obedience. And of course, if we ask why was Mary so oriented to obedience, it's because she loved. It's because she loved. Because obedience is always the mark of love. Wherever there's love, one desires to obey. This is even true with people. Little children, when they're desiring to, they're loving their dad or their mom. Mom, can I help? Tell me to do something. Okay, here's what you need to do. Thanks. Oh. Now, we ask why. Why the desire to obey? Because love desires communion. And communion always has to mean communion of will. This is the place of true communion. And therefore, when someone loves and is seeking communion, one says, can I obey? The chivalric knight says to his lady, your wish is my command. Why would he say this? Because he wants to be commanded for no good reason? Because he's looking for slavery? No, because he loves. He loves. And he's seeking communion. He's seeking unity of will. And so he goes beyond what's necessary. Her wish doesn't have to be his command. Nobody's put that in the rule book. But his love overflows, and he says, I desire to obey as I love. And so it is with Mary. When she realizes that the Lord's will has come to her in the message of the angel, she says, Oh, let it be done to me according to your will. She lunges, if you will, at obedience because she so desires communion. And this is just a simple principle of the spiritual life. When we find our obedience growing difficult, it's because our love is growing cold. It's because our love is growing cold. And if we desire to gain a deeper love for that which we need to obey, Christ, the rule, our superiors, circumstances of life, the place to look is, what is the state of my love? Because as we love, we will desire communion, and as we desire communion, we'll desire obedience. So we can ask for the grace this morning as we're honoring Our Lady, the one who was first a great lover, and therefore an obedient heart, that we might take yet another step in the grace of her love, and therefore her obedience, and that we can say too, that we will be blessed and God will dwell in us as we hear the word of God and as we obey it.